I'm sitting here in Hamburg at the Airbus company together with Nicolas. Today has been the first knowledge management days at Airbus. And I'm very proud that Nicolas has time, 1 hour now, that we can talk a little bit about the KM case at Airbus. Greetings, Nicolas.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
I just practiced, but I was not able to pronounce your last name. Like, perhaps you tell us a little bit, the listeners, what's your name and also what's your function inside the Airbus group.
So I'm Nicolas Champchevrier, French nationality. I'm in charge of the knowledge management department. This is a department which is located so far in human resource. And we are very close and very soon completely embedded with the learning department, managing competence, learning and knowledge all together. This activity of knowledge management in Airbus has quite a few history. In fact, we have been created in different countries, four countries in the Europe, France, Germany, Spain and the UK, initially in engineering. So it's after quite a few years that it has been decided to externalize this activity, not serving only engineering, but the rest of the organization. And today, that's very simple. When we have a look to the service that we provide, it's still 50% for engineering, but the rest is for the other organization, whatever it is, program, HR, of course, but also customer service. We are also working for strategy. So that's very, very, very broad.
So the service for engineering is like half of your service you provide? Or
approximately, we have half of our activity still for engineering. Which is we are an engineering company, so it's not surprising, of course, that the needs is born over there. But as said, close to that, procurement, for example, is also very demanding so far.
And you said you have four locations in Europe. How is that organized? Like you, as the head of knowledge management, you're located in France.
Mm-hmm. The location of the head has no really importance, I have to say. Which is clear is that the needs that we support. Is everywhere where people manage knowledge, which means at the end in the overall organization. And we are majoritarily present in the four countries I have mentioned. So Toulouse for France, this is in Hamburg and Bremen in Germany. In the UK, this is Filton, close to Bristol. And we have also Broughton, a bit more in the north. And in Spain, majoritarily, this is in Madrid area.
And when did it start? Like, when were the first, like, the first department, or when were the topic knowledge management for the first time a topic inside Airbus?
Yeah. So, well, it's clear, you know, well, that everybody managed knowledge, as mentioned. So it's difficult to say when it has started, really. But the first department set up as such started independently from the three countries. It was in Germany, it was in France, and it was in the UK only, with only few people and not at all connected. In the UK, it was really focused on research activities to support the finding of similar case of failures in our activities.
What year?
It was in the 2000, after 2000, something like that. So it was 15 years ago about. And in the meanwhile, also, it started in France, if I remember well, more in the central engineering, how to ensure having the capitalization of lessons systematically done, and even process-wise, it has been defined as this time already. Very shortly, more or less in the meanwhile, was the expertise transfer recognition as absolutely necessary, different waves of departure for retirement was faced already with this new big organization, because in 2000 we started to be Airbus Group also with the creation of the Airbus with various companies from different countries. So that has increased, let's say, the necessity to take care about knowledge in general. Now, in engineering, it was disconnected from the various teams, but shortly it has been said, well, why not simply harmonizing what the best practices are related to knowledge management? And then a single team has started with management from different countries and finally managed by a single person. And I said afterwards, I've even externalized from engineering in order to serve the rest of the functions by being positioned on the central entity of the group.
So it went from engineering to HR then as a central function.
Exactly, exactly. And then very soon, which is in 6 months now, that will be an Airbus group. Not only Airbus commercial, but Airbus group activity proposed centrally for all the divisions that we have in our group, helicopters, defense and space, on top of Airbus.
And the shift from engineering to HR, when was this? In which year?
I don't remember exactly, 2007 maybe, 2007 I think, around.
Okay, then I picked a little flyer from the first KM study tour that Professor Heisig organized back in 2009, where Fridtjof Weber was, I think, in charge of KM here in Germany.
My predecessor, absolutely.
Yeah. And I just picked that flyer because it lists in the agenda sort of all the methods that you have implemented, the tools that you have. And I suggest that we use that as sort of a guideline to talk about the tools when they emerged and what your experiences are with it. Is this fine for you?
Absolutely fine.
I think you already mentioned EXTRA, the knowledge transfer. It's mentioned here that you won a corporate award of excellence for it in 2007. So what is EXTRA?
Regularly, by the way, we've got some rewards from the company on this. So EXTRA, like expertise transfer, is a famous simple technique. We have not invented so much here. We just reuse existing methodology for that. Is to ensure that by a diagnostic between the person leaving his or her position, we ensure that we analyze the various domains of knowledge, could be either methods, either technical information, either IT stuff, either processes, either relationship, people, networks.
But it's always one person leaving the position, like going to retirement or going to another position, and another one is following.
So the business case for that is multiple. Of course, most of the demands, 99% or 98%, are definitively one person leaving his or position and being replaced by another one. But more and more, and depending also on the changes that we face in the organization, it's one person to more than one person in case of departure, but in case also of departure typically for an expert. You of course cannot replace an expert by another one directly. Generally, we need to have more than one person trained for someone very experienced who is leaving. There are some change of organization. Simply when we decide to remove a department and to send it to another area, then it's a complete department concern. So in this case, it's only not only one person living, but a group of persons who could have a close knowledge, let's say. So in this case, we adapt a bit the methodology simply to have a group transfer of method.
And you, as a service, you provide sort of a checklist or a guideline, or do you provide moderators who like interview the people or guide the process?
So the EXTRA method, expertise transfer method that we have set up, is a guided method, preliminary, which means that we have a facilitator coming on, a naive facilitator, I mean, who is not knowing the domain. And thanks to this, that's helped a lot because we can easily ask basic questions that generally the person living is forgetting easily. So it's a guided method. We record, of course, all the domain of knowledge, but in this method, we don't transfer the knowledge. So we just, after the diagnosis, propose an action plan in terms of transfer, adapted to what has to be transferred, or adapted also to the level of knowledge of the successor or successors. But this is, as I said, a guided method so far. Now, you imagine well that this is costly because having someone facilitating each and single transfer means that we can't afford at a certain point of time. So we have decided to also create a guide. And this guide is self-used, so you don't need to necessarily have a full training on it. It's self-explanatory. And then as far as, and what we mentioned definitively, is as far as it's not so critical as knowledge you have to transfer, we can simply let the person leaving using this document to be guided in order to prepare the transfer to the successor.
And how many cases do you have for a year, for example?
Yeah. So full facilitated extra method, we do between 300 and 400 a year.
A year. Oh.
Which, let's say at group level, we are very close to 400 for an attrition rate of 6,000. Let's say a certain perspective or strategy we had a few years ago was to say, well, probably 10% of our attrition is of high attention because of the criticality. And probably so 90% we can people using their either usual method or offline guided method. So we are not yet at the 10%, but at a certain distance and not too far away. So for the moment, we are quite happy with this. And for the guided ones, it's very difficult to say because this is something that we simply offer to be done on their own. They don't need to come to us. They can simply download this on our internal intranet. As far as they have access to, they can use it whenever they want. I have also to mention that since now more than 10 years, 12 years exactly, we do this expertise transfer. We have done a very big number of knowledge transfer. Since we have this, we have seen also that the behavior has changed a bit in the company. First, they are proactively asking for. And before we were have to push really to ensure people take care of. Now really it's come from proactive mode, from employees themselves, but also from human resources who know that change come or for the management. But it's interesting also to note here out of the proactivity of the demand.
So in terms of the facilitators in your KM team, how many people are in the KM team and how many of them are doing facilitated extras?
As mentioned, we are working on the four main countries that we have at the moment. So it's simple to understand that we are present on the four countries to be locally close to our customer, internal customers. What is good to see here is that we are not simply supporting the needs by understanding there is a need expressed. We also serve it by operating it, but we have decided in our operating mode not to serve it with our own resource, considering that the fact to serve is well defined method. So we have used, let's say, a simple and cheap way of doing it by subcontracting it, externalizing this activity.
Yeah, okay.
Which has helped also to ramp up, I hope so, not ramp down, but ramp up easily for the demands, which has increased. Let's say in 3 years, we have doubled the number of extra demands. So we have now a subcontractor who is present in our four countries and serving us locally where our sites are, which is very practical. So today, the size of our team is a bit less than 10 people from a workforce of Airbus, plus more than 40 now subcontractors locally present in all countries and serving us. And I would say more or less all the subcontractors are anyway trained for expertise transfer because this is the most demand activity that helps also to leverage the needs and the resources.
The second method that is mentioned is called KMOD. Identify your KM needs. This is also the second one that you implemented in your portfolio. And what is it?
It's also a very, very old one, simply because any support we give with our method and tools on knowledge management is based on the diagnosis. You start always to approach the problematic of managing knowledge by analyzing what is to be managed.
So KMOD is knowledge management?
So
something KMOD, diagnosis?
The KMOD is no longer existing as such, okay. By the way, and we have transformed it as a diagnosis activity. The way we are organized today in our department, if I may introduce that right now, is based on three pillars. The first one is we say normally customer relationship management, where it's internal. So
internal customers.
Business relationship management on our side, which is really a consulting activity. And we really do a consulting activity based on a methodology, which is diagnosis. So KMOD, old method we had, is now a bit transformed in order that we integrate that in our chain to support the consulting. The second part is the operation itself. So we operate as far as we have identified identify a need using one of our methods. And to ensure that we operate, we have in the middle a support operating system, I will say, where we ensure that when there is a need identified, immediately it's transferred to our subcontractor, and someone is taking care that there are sufficiently resources, human resources, on the right area. Quality is ensured, and satisfaction at the end is provided to the customer. So this is our middle management activity. So diagnosis, yes, exists still. We try to do it smaller and smaller. In the past, we use really number of quite number of days in order to make such kind of diagnosis. Now it's a bit different. We work more closer to the customer directly, and not necessarily with a bench number of people. And that's, as I said, part of our diagnosis. In the diagnosis that we are running so far, as mentioned before, criticality of knowledge is addressed immediately.
And you do that in a workshop? Like bring together people?
It's so in the past that was a mod what we did, and we continue to offer this as far as there are some needs. I can give you a simple example there. Recently, because we are facing today a no new development of aircraft, not developing a full aircraft, so some departments in engineering has simply been disappearing because we don't need to have them, at least for the moment. So before letting those persons leaving and going to other areas, we just had to collect all the knowledge. But there is no need to collect everything, collect only what is absolutely necessary. And then this is definitively a group exercise in this case. So it's not individual consulting, this is a global analysis on diagnostic.
So you look for criticality of knowledge?
So criticality, this is the first thing. And the second one, which is also pushed at this moment when we consult, this is the notion of maturity. Maturity in managing the knowledge. It's not because you just come to me and say, well, I'm leaving my position, I probably need to transfer my knowledge. Yes, this is a particular case that you are facing. But when you are a manager, we generally have the request, which is, well, we know a lot of things. It's necessary to take care better of our knowledge. How could we manage better the way we transfer, we collect, and we share our knowledge? And what we propose at the moment is for each department, I would say, around, to ensure that we have a maturity of managing the knowledge with certain levels. So we have defined a couple of levels for this maturity, which helps the manager to identify if the various departments around have reached or not this maturity. So it's just to know that they are knowledge, as they identify their critical knowledge, the very first basic things. Second one is how we put in place a process to capitalize, to transfer, to track new knowledge or risk of losing knowledge. And at the end, there is a, let's say, sustained level, I would say, this is the ultimate one, which is to ensure that we review regularly the process and we continue to assess yearly minimum this maturity of knowledge management.
And this is what you are doing as a service with your team? With the internal customer?
So that's what we propose. It's not very often used so far because this is for the very well matured environment, and particularly where the managers have identified the really necessity to take care about the knowledge management, which is unfortunately not really everywhere so far.
And most often used is like using it as a quick check? Doing a shorter version of it?
No, so we have proposed now a description of this in a self-guide. So simply the users can simply use, when I say users, this is KM knowledge management practitioners in the business who have some roles with knowledge management, can simply take this kind of description and try to apply that in their own environment. Of course, we facilitate that if necessary, but most of our solutions that we will continue to dig in, we have defined a self-guide that people can use on their own without necessarily accessing
That scales. You don't need to put human resource behind.
You imagine well that we are always challenged also in the volume of activities or funding activities that we are having. So as much as we can provide to the business is the best, and how far they can manage on their own is even better.
The next on the list is also a KM classic. It's the Yellow Pages, meaning a sort of a phone book. someone might know Yellow Pages from a phone book. Is it the same?
So the phone book is interesting because the phone book is for contacting people. So contacting people is when you have simply the name on the on the few details behind. Here, of course, we could talk more about which knowledge that people have. So, of course, it's much more information. It's much more also confidential information. And we know well that particularly in Germany, that's something which is extremely touchy. We have put in place a system which was a yellow page concept, very classical, as we know, for such kind of purpose. It has collapsed very quickly, I have to say. Did not really succeed because the way it has been set up was too much of constraint on the list of knowledge that you can really define and propose for
each. You have profile to select several knowledge domains.
Exactly. And even the full extreme that was open also then to do, which is to finally define your own one. At the end, it was so messy that nobody has twice the same knowledge. So finally, you did not really find the knowledge you wanted and the people you wanted. And then there was no two person having the same knowledge at the end. It was, of course, not the case. So finally, we have that put that on the corner. I have to say it was also too much in advance as a concept for our organization, and the fact that at home, I have to say, we all have now discovered the Facebook-like concept has helped a lot because what we have put in place recently now, it's 2 years ago, we have put a social media for the overall organization, now even at a group level, where finally people have their own profile and it's not optional to have it, it's just everybody has it. Of course, it's up to you to fill this information.
In the yellow pages, it was optional.
So in you did not get the information if you not put anything. But now everybody has one. Everybody has also a position in the organization, and then you have a possibility to view simply where you are in the organization. A few details also as in the let's say email system that are also duplicated over there. So it was already a basic information. Legally speaking, from a human resource perspective, it's difficult to put more without the acceptance of the users, but basically in the past we've got the interface with LinkedIn that you are able to download your CV, which we expect to reinstall now in the new version. LinkedIn has refused now to have this automatically done, we are now to renegotiate and it's on the way, which is great. And there are probably, as I imagine, large companies like ours, many areas where people have already declared some personal information up to a CV from a human resource perspective or for their let's say daily activities perspective, and how we can bring that all together in single area. This is one of the purpose of having this HR tools, let's say. Social media is one of our social tools we consider as a social and communication tool.
And this is your intranet? Like the tool you're
so this
about?
Is based on now we have set up this tool. The second version just arrived a year ago. And a year ago, we have now changed completely the portal of the company. Not only Airbus, but Airbus Group. So it's really a very large deployment for going to this social media. So we have three dimensions over there. The people dimension, where you have the description of each person on I would say competence, capabilities, experience. The second level, so which helps people to connect with each other, of course. The second level, it's communication, the purpose of a portal for a company.
It's like news, corporate news and
so
things like that.
So you have the news, you have the description of the major department activities, materials available, social aspects also, social partners also are declared over there, which was also a big change because our social partners also have possibility to be on this kind of portal. And the last dimension, this is cooperation, so communities. And then this is what we will discuss in a second, communities of practice,
right.
Which means that we have defined immediately the possibility to have organized or unorganized. That's also a point.
This is on the list, what is named connecting people to communicate via professional networks.
Yeah, absolutely. Professional networks was our old concept called now communities of practice, where I said it's organized or non-organized, depending where you are. Organized in the sense that the company is organized by different departments, hierarchically organized, and then we have also set up a similar structure within our intranet and defined communities in order that hierarchically we are able to have some exchange department by department. But also, as I said, unorganized in the sense where we don't have to force the communities to be attached to this organization. It could be completely a transverse.
Like self-organized.
Then self-organized. Here again, so we are present, by the way, in the creation of any communities so far, and we check if it makes sense to group them and to ensure that they don't just, because a group of people self-declared as a group for whatever subject want to create something, we just ensure that there is not something already existing and we can refer to ensure that we make a bit of coherency in. But there is no structure organized. Everything is flat at the end as far as they are, they could be regrouped in one community, but communities altogether are flatly represented.
What about the community management? It's a hot topic at the moment in the knowledge management domain. Who are the community managers in the organized and in the unorganized communities?
Management of communities, and there is a way to manage a community, which is a bit different. Today, we don't have, on top of having, as I mentioned, this filter to create a community, we don't have a management of the existing communities.
So everybody can start a community.
So everybody can start, but we have this filter that, as mentioned before, we provide. But afterwards, we let them go, and there is no management further than that, except after generally a year time, we just have a look on the health of the community. And if we just recognize that after 6 months, nothing go on these communities, probably it's dead. You know well that a community is not necessarily to live forever. So it's quite natural also that the community is finally stopping because they have achieved their goal that has been made for. We just check if we can simply remove the community. Archiving has to be done possibly, but that's quite a few the case. But we have also other cases where, and I will come to your point here surely, and that finally the facilitators of the community, the moderators, have not really endorsed their role as they should, and there are lack of support or training, and now the community is dead because there was no facilitation of the community properly done. And that's come to our second subject here, which is facilitation of one particular community. So when a facilitator is appointed, and of course this is one of the criteria before we create a community, is to ensure there are people nominated for this, the facilitator will provide them a bit of awareness on what this means. So here we have a bit of feedback because we have made by the past, without having the virtual communities, we facilitated a lot of, as you said, professional networks. So we know how to manage that. But unfortunately, we don't provide an awareness as deep, let's say, as a real training should be, which at the end leave the, and by the way, I have to say, the facilitators are not so keen to be trained for long before starting their community. They like very much to be supported from a technical perspective to the technical setup. Exactly. But behind, in terms of a role they have to take on how to animate and how they should capitalize the knowledge exchange on a community, because we are really talking about exchanging of knowledge, this is not necessarily done as we could expect, which is one of support we give, let's say, maybe a bit late. But at the end, once we detect that the community is going down, then we propose to be to have a new setup and then to be more supportive proactively than in this case to the community facilitator.
And the communities have physical meetings as well as a virtual like room in the internet? Is it like both or is it virtual only?
So communities, it's a very broad sense, in fact, that we have now. One of the first communities created and has worked very well since 2 years now, so we have set up the first social media for Airbus, was people who were biking around Toulouse, and then they said, well, great, we just exchange our impression which path we are using, how to put our bike and how to be closed and whatever stuff.
Which is not a business topic, but it's okay to have
and
it.
You just noticed first, it's not a business topic, but that was what the employees were happy to discuss because there was we have so much traffic jam locally here. We are so happy to have a community who deal with daily problem of the people. And I said here, we don't need necessarily to support the facilitation. so much here because there are so many people exchanging that was very well working on their own. So you see, a community can work and not being necessarily, of course, you imagine physically meeting. Because here there are so many people, when I say many, it's more than 1,000 people, of course. They are not meeting each other, okay? So there is no physical implementation of a network necessary for a community. Of course, many others are having also some physical meetings. Typically, if we are talking together, it's because you are close to us in Hamburg, and we just do today our first knowledge management network. Up to now, we have only exchanged by colleagues one-to-one or virtually in this kind of communities. And now we try to do something much more physical in order to also have this sense of communication, social, by seeing people physically.
So the knowledge management community who met here in person has also a virtual community where they can communicate after the meeting.
Yeah, so we have created typically for knowledge management, you imagine well, a community on our social media, which is first presenting method and tools which are the one proposed centrally, but also to let other departments who are managing knowledge management without using, which is also existing by the way, some method and tools we propose, then they can simply share what they are doing.
Oh, very good.
And people can simply exchange best practice. Last but not least, of course, the possibility to have some events organized here and there, by us or not, to be promoted in this community.
Okay, the next on the list, and that's interesting because with the Nonaka book of knowledge creating company, innovation is very much at the core of knowledge management, or might be. The topic on the list is create new knowledge with innovation management. What's behind that?
So, well, as you mentioned very fairly, the innovation aspect is one part of the knowledge management. Oh, it exists so many definitions of knowledge management, but quite a few of them really recognize that the first thing is creating knowledge. So creating means it's come from somewhere and generally from the people in the company or inspired out of the company. But anyway, we bring that back in the company. So naturally, innovation is to be linked to the knowledge management. We have recognized that a certain point of time, not at the beginning, I have to say, but more recently, 8 years ago, something like that. And we have included that as one of our service. And the service we are providing is just, I would say, brainstorming. So we support the creativity, sense of creativity of our employees, whatever subject we are talking about. It could be very deeply engineering to be creative or solving issue, problem solving methodology. So that's, I would say, a quite broad use that we have defined with 35, something like that, kind of or derivative of methodology for supporting this creativity.
So that's a certain workshop methodology mm-hmm. behind?
So this is very well workshop oriented, of course, completely dedicated to the purpose because you don't, let's say, standardize with only one facilitation method for all topics. So depending on the topics, we have a dedicated way of providing a support. By the way, for most of the operative solution for knowledge management that we provide, we also give a training. So employees have the possibility to book a training for innovation, so for various solutions of innovation, by the way, for lessons learned, that will be one of our next topics surely also. So we provide some training, facilitation of communities also. We provide some formal training that people can follow in order to be much more independent in managing this.
So people learn how to facilitate the workshops on their own.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Very good.
Well, that's basically the idea, not trying to own a subject centrally that people are necessary to go through us to ensure support, but to provide autonomy wherever it's possible in the company. We are all manipulating knowledge, so let's people being autonomous in properly.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes to knowledge or learning, nobody can be the gatekeeper, just a supporter. Okay, you already mentioned it, RISE and the lessons learned process, like capture and reuse lessons learned is another method on the list. What about that? When did you start to do lessons learned?
So lessons learned is something we have started from the very beginning, at least when the department has been created. So I think the first method has been recorded in 2001. So it's really now more than 15 years ago. Simply recognizing that lessons learned is really one of the, with the knowledge transfer, one of the most important activity, I would say, from knowledge management, very classical one. In our company, what I have to recognize so far is a perspective which is on one side well supported, on the other side really not achieved, I have to say. Well supported because on one side we have managed to propose a solution to capture knowledge, help people to elaborate their knowledge, lessons learned, I mean, best practice.
And by capturing, you mean documenting it or changing behavior on basis of?
I'm here about people. We support easily people to understand what they have learned from an activity they have done in the past, individually or collectively. I have to say much more collectively. Also, it's a cost perspective here. If you want to help one person, it's cost much more than if you want to help a group. And then what we propose, and it's even now in the methodology of project management for our company, is to ensure that once you are closing an activity, a project ultimately, I have to say, but it will be intermediate phases, then you are doing lessons learned.
It's like a milestone in a project? Or?
So in a milestone, then you have to just look back and then not only alone as a project manager, but with a team, and to just recognize if something has been really learned. And of course, the next question is, if you have learned something superb, good that you are recognizing it, because it needs to be integrated and not simply, being the case, but you don't recognize it. So in this case, you really recognize it, that you have learned something. But secondly, which is learning on the job, by the way. Now, it's interesting, of course, to know who could be and how it could be reused, let's say, in the future. And here it's much more complicated. And this is where I have to say, not necessarily satisfied of the maturity so far we have in the company, because as far as we can identify where it could be reused, of course, the employees are very happy to, because they are proud also having learned for something and want to disseminate their learning. But it's very difficult to identify where it could be directly being reused. Have a look. We have the last aircraft we have developed is the S-350. This aircraft, there is no successor so far. There is no other aircraft we will develop. So whatever learning we have made with this aircraft, great to record, but for who will learn from it? We do it, I have to say, and I'm very happy of this, by the way, because it has been well recognized by the management, the needs to, for our increment, various derivatives that we are doing currently for the S-150 product, sorry, then we are learning from each increment. Here it's working super well, and we have really good satisfaction of any new teams preparing the increment, because they receive a lot of lessons learned and very valid ones. So this is working. But once you don't have a perspective of direct reuse, that's quite difficult. What we do, which logically is done, is simply to record this kind of information. We have a database of 6,000 of lessons learned collected from quite a long period now. 2006, I think it has been put in place. So more than 10 years of recording. Yesterday it has been decided to put this database at group level. Then the other divisions can also have a place where they can record their lessons learned, which we also provide on top of this a service to dig in a, it means depending on the needs to just have a look if there are some lessons learned linked to on how we can extract and select, filter relevant lessons learned for a need.
And every employee can have a look inside that database and search it and navigate it?
Yeah. So we provide, of course, a search on top, free text plus structured search. Structured because we are indexing our lessons learned by the different criteria, by the way, of course, the structure of the aircraft. So, of course, yeah, they can search for it, anybody. We have created, it was a case at the very beginning, and we try to limit as much as possible the possibility to create some private area, some private lessons learned. Well, we have some defense business also in our group, so we have to be careful also somehow. But naturally, we have to, if you want to learn from another activity, another project, if you don't make something public, you just kill your own business.
Yeah, right. Okay, then next on the list is KCP, Capture Product and Process Knowledge. KCP stands for?
KCP is Knowledge Capturing and Publishing. This activity is dedicated to, let's say, downwriting the knowledge as far as it's possible. So as far as you are able to make explicit your knowledge, not for all knowledge, but for knowledge which is commonly used and it's critical, it's important to ensure we know where it is stored. It may be in the mind of people, of course, but if it's in mind people, it's of course at risk for any risk put on an individual or a human being. So fair enough to just downwriting it. So this activity, which we call very well also knowledge book writing, knowledge book is a very old-fashioned way of describing it, but this is still the concept we use. It's no longer in a word processing environment, but much more on the wiki platform. And then I have to say in the last years, we only use this platform to finally record such kind of information. The service we provide here is, again, diagnostic we start with to know what has to be recorded. And particularly when we do this diagnostic, we define the kind of knowledge that has to be recorded. And we provide a proposition of modeling the knowledge, how it should be, it has to be described.
It's like structuring and...
Absolutely. It's a question of structure. It could be in semantic also behind to be used. Taxonomy, of course, is definitively linked to, in order that we prepare the hosting. I mentioned wiki as an environment, but to ensure that behind the hosting will be well prepared to capture the knowledge itself. What we have proposed in the past, but we are less and less proposing so far, this is to capture itself, the knowledge, because being ignorant of the domain, and I have here to be very clear, we are a central knowledge management team to provide method and tools, but we are not a central team who is accumulating knowledge. So don't ask me too much about the airplane, because even myself, I'm not knowledgeable in this domain.
You're designing the environment, but you're not the knowledge broker.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when we capture knowledge, we capture knowledge without knowing the knowledge, which is great also sometimes, again, as I mentioned, for expertise transfer, because naively you ask the right question. but behind, finally, we are not the specialist. So we prefer to let the department themselves to capture. And the second advantage of doing that, also a service we provide together with this KCP or knowledge book, is the fact that if you want that the department is ensuring that in the future they will use the knowledge book that they are creating, is forcing them to use it. If you write a book about your knowledge, you put it on the shelf, then it's just already obsolete because you don't change the content first. And secondly, it's archive, it's history, the way you just simply design it. So the first thing we propose when we propose knowledge book is not only to design it, but to ensure that we have a process of capturing, but also consuming the knowledge, sharing, and ensuring there are people who are regularly updating the content.
It's like having the whole flow or cycle inside the
idea. Absolutely, that's the case. And on top of that, what we call the environmental framework, which is a process, as I mentioned, to capture properly the knowledge, update and sharing, but also the IT environment to doing it. I mentioned Wiki as one, but it's not necessarily the only one, and it could be having other tools to really link this knowledge book in the environment that is used in the department. There is also simply the empowerment, so roles of people asked to be recognized. It's quite often that we push for is that experts, that we have only few experts. Well, in our companies, they are really marked and named, and they have really a letter of mission as an expert. They are the ones who should, I'm talking about engineering, of course, in this case, they are the one who should know about their perimeter. So there should be going through them this kind of knowledge, even if they are not the one to capture in the wiki, but at least they need to know. They have a role, and they have a role also in terms of knowledge book. If the knowledge book is not up to date, they should be blamed for that.
It's their job, yeah. Right.
So that's their job. And if you want that working, it needs that the people around needs to recognize the role of this person. And for this, you need to have the management attention. So the management has to, I'll say, ultimately reward or target the people to do the job and to thank them when they do a good job.
Okay, so last year on the list is search across databases, the business search or enterprise search. I think that's an all-time favorite in all the internet projects in knowledge management since 15 years, and perhaps you have the solution.
Unfortunately, we have faced the difficulty and not found, even if it's search here engine, necessarily the best way off. But I can say we have quite an experience now with this. I will qualify search similarly to innovation, I have to say, in the landscape of knowledge management, because some people see this activity disconnected. Nevertheless, there is a link, of course, between it. How can you simply try to capture knowledge without being able to access it if you don't know the structure? And you know that more and more today, have a look with how we use internet, you don't know where the knowledge is. You want to have a capacity to search, to access knowledge wherever it is, and wherever it is a structure, I would say, even behind. So we still have a tendency as individuals with your own laptop, for example, you simply structure the information with folders, I would say. So in the future, and we have now some AI software editors who are working this direction, that you just, let's say, post information in a system. You describe, and you have to describe fully this information with meta information, but you don't know how it will be saved, let's say, and the path to retrieve it is just with a search engine. So we have worked now for very long on this and faced all the change of IT in our company. If I'm mentioning that, it's because you imagine very well, as far as you develop an IT solution, it means that obsolescence has to be managed, and any change in the source of information has an impact on the search. If you talk about search, it means it's simple if the organization, the company, is having a single source where they store information. I have never seen that, at least in a company like Airbus. So we are 66,000 people spread of four main countries, plus, of course, offices around the world. The way we have been created is association of different companies. So even if, it's now a long time ago, but anyway, we still have a different way of working. We have not forced necessarily people to in the various departments to integrate in a single way of managing their recording of information, whatever I mean by recording. So today we face a constellation of sources in our company, which at the end we produce a product, no problem with that, because we know what we have to do and we are responsible locally by department to do our stuff. But the data itself, and we talk about digitalization today, is spread over different sources. So if you want to be able to access all those informations centrally, that's extremely difficult. We don't manage to access all sources. We manage a set of sources which are commonly used by employees, not specialized, but generally used by employees. And even that's quite difficult, because you have to manage connectors to access the data sources. The right of users to access information has to be propagated properly. You don't have to disturb the usage of the data source by the upper applications. So you have, generally we duplicate, by the way, or we have some back access to. So such kind of activities has to be.
And you search advised. Can you search in content, or can you also search in the profiles of the people and find people, like finding knowledge in the heads of people?
This we don't do.
If you maintain your profile and you write inside, I'm specialist for lessons learned, and somebody searches for lessons learned, for example, he can find your profile.
No, we have not created on top of the existing data sources, let's say, a capacity to multi-link our sources. Not in the past. That's something that it's of the subject I have to say today. And Airbus has decided, this is on the press, by the way, so no secret there, to jump fully in the digitalization worlds by having the link between all data sources, not trying to link the existing ones, but simply to migrate and duplicate information, to have that in a data lake, unique data lake, and then to be able to perform analysis cross sources in order to emerge, as you mentioned, one of the business case, which is people, let's say. So human resource is very interested in this. Of course, technically also, because you characterize the capacity of some people to do something. But for us, it's also to recognize a link between procurement, so our subcontractors' activities, with the design that we need, the production that we do, and the customer service, the as support we do for our customers. If we are able to link all the chain here, we simply are quicker in deciding. We define better for the next generation of request or requirement, and of course we speed, let's say, the way of analyzing our content.
So search was the last on the list I have here. Is anything missing? Did you do anything, any new features or tools?
So but first, as mentioned, we constantly review our solutions to ensure we fit best, let's say, what is necessary. I mentioned extra expertise transfer at the beginning. We continue simply this one, which is now more than 10 years old. We continue to develop it to do something closer to the needs we just face. And today we will have more and more. We restructure our company, by the way, so we have a lot of changes, cut of jobs and so on, and transfer of location also, which is putting risk on knowledge. So we are now adapting also our even classical solution to something which is more pragmatic, costless. So that's always something we take care of. Now, yes, we have an additional service that we just provided. This is the use of video. Mm-hmm. So it's not simple video, it's rich media, which is, let's say, a together presentation associated to the video of this that we have created a few months ago last year. This is a way to bring closer to employees the capacity to absorb knowledge. So we see that first at the consumer more than at the producer, because if you want to be able to access and learn something quickly, if we have a big book with many information in, of course people is not necessarily attracted to have a look on, except you have some nice photo. But using a video, like people do very well on the web, also again here, for batting at home, I would say, then it works very well in the company. We have just started. It's not mature enough to give a feedback on how it works, but the enthusiasm is very high from the
And you audience. Record talks or lectures or trainings, or what is the content of the videos?
So on this point, it's important to now eliminate, I would say, what we did not want to capture, or the tool can, but it's not what we look for, on things we were really happy to. What we were not so keen in is to record a full speech of, let's say, 2 hours or a workshop, because of course people can be happy to finally dig and search in, but here we were really much more putting attention on the capture on the knowledge on the spot, which means capture of 10-15 minutes of recording for dedicated knowledge, capacity of doing. It's very well adapted also for the blue collars, simply because the way to integrate features together can be simply demonstrated much easier by the video. And you don't need to have hours for that. Just a few minutes is sufficient, and you can broadcast that to any countries. We face a problem of language with our 4 countries. Oh, sorry, not only 4, because then we have also a final assembly line in also China and also in the US. So we have to broadcast that also in all our countries. That's very efficient, but it has to be a small one.
Okay, so last question. When you look back on the experience with knowledge management, your personal lessons learned, like what have you learned in the past about knowledge management, and perhaps also what are your wishes or visions for the future?
It's now 4 years I'm in charge of this department, and I was extremely enthusiastic seeing that first there is something existing when I joined, with quite mature, and I have to admit that Airbus is quite mature in method and tools, also the diversity proposed. Nevertheless, very shortly I've seen that the use of it is poor compared to the size of the company and the real needs which are behind. So finally, it's lead me, I will say, to the simple conclusion that the attention from the management, I think it's very classical, I'm saying, or something anybody working knowledge management also face, the attention from the management is not at the level we could expect. Very few companies have been, let's say, putting attention for a few years on knowledge management pushed by the CEO, him or mm-hmm. herself, and that has been super efficient in order to push simply people to recognize the needs. After, if the knowledge department has developed or not, it's not a question. The question is to ensure that people has recognized the importance of knowledge management and to have an organization which is learning by itself. And today I have to say it's not the case in Airbus still. So here we still have, let's say, some possibilities to improve on our side, which is to have this necessity of taking care of knowledge, which is recognized at our top management level. I have to admit, nevertheless, in the very last two years, engineering as a whole, has decided to move forward with this. So we have worked very closely to them to propose them some processes, maturity assessment, as I mentioned, to ensure that we can have a systematic process proposed for a large department. Large is 12,000 people about, so it's quite large. To ensure that knowledge management can be implemented. But the gap to make that appearing is extremely huge. So we are far away from there still.
So you think the next 5 to 10 years there will be knowledge management in place as well?
Yeah, well, I'm not necessarily extremely enthusiastic about this, but I'm thinking that in the meanwhile, the way we will practice with knowledge management may evolve a bit. We talk about digitalization, very fancy at the moment, I have to say, but that will contribute much more. Today, we don't necessarily capture everything because we don't have the reflex to simply put that properly somewhere. Tomorrow, and we see that with the young generation, they are not necessarily experts as we could have in the older generation, but they are much clever and agile in searching information, in having relationship with other people in order to get the information. And this relationship is not just by meeting people. This is the old fashioned that I even myself did in the past, but it's simply because they are connected with each other. So this new way of working will eat us, and thanks to the social media we have started to put in place, we need to take benefit of this without forgotten, and that's the point at the moment, forgotten that anything which is exchanged contains a bit of knowledge, and there is a value. And how to recognize this value of this particular information. If you have a look on the million of emails which are exchanged daily in countries, then you simply probably have a lot of knowledge exchanged there, but who is capitalizing that? If you bring that to the level of a company, how could we make benefit of that? The rationale of a decision today, we don't really capture that properly.
It's hidden.
It's in exchange of people. It could be in physical or virtual exchange. It could be simply also by emails. And tomorrow, and what we see by the way already today, this is being influenced by communities on social media, on intranet, because there are some discussions. People are just influenced because they learn more. There are people who are quite a charism of leadership by playing with this media, and then we are influenced, so our decisions are affected, and how we are able to recognize this influence, track it, and being later legally responsible for once typically an accident occurs.
So it starts informally and will be formalized later on.
It is.
Okay, Nicolas, thank you very much for taking the time, and best wishes for the future.
Thank you very much. Quite a pleasure.